Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. We're going to tag right on to the last video and just pick up where we left off. For those of you that are new, we're always endeavoring to encourage people to develop a relationship with God that is tangible. I've said it this way many times before, and that is, let God come off the pages of the wonderful scriptures that we love and live in your life, where you can begin to see him and find him everywhere. The more you do, the easier it will be for you to connect with God. Prayers will be answered very regularly, and you'll be able to share your testimonies with others. So let's jump right into the fact that we're talking about the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And the fact that we're talking about good and evil is the reason that Adam brought these things into the world, into the mix, into life. It wasn't supposed to be this way. God didn't create any evil, and there was no evil for Adam to connect to. Now, of course, there was a serpent in the garden, but in other words, what I'm saying is there was no evil within his heart, no pretension in his heart. God didn't create any evil for Adam to connect to. He had a wonderful life, and he could have taken of the tree of life and lived forever as a perfect being, but he did take of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil and brought into our lives the whole idea that there is good and evil. And remember, Titus 2:11 and 12 tells us that grace is our teacher. And the first thing grace will teach you is the negativity of the world. The second thing it will reveal to you is the positivity of God. Now, we're continuing to share these thoughts to help you to realize, number one, there's nothing good of the flesh and the world. And if there isn't, then we want to expose many of the things that are of the flesh of the world that may, just may be, the way you choose the choices that you make. It may be the perspective of the life you live. And if it is, then I can guarantee you that there is a disconnect in your connection with God because of the connection that you have to the flesh and the world. Jesus said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well, what he's actually saying is the less important the body and the flesh and the world is, the easier it will be to connect to God. You know, when Jesus looked at the disciples in Mark chapter 9, endeavoring to cast that devil out of that little boy, and they were unsuccessful. And Jesus said to them, this kind comes out by prayer and fasting. And he called them out on the carpet of unbelief. Well, their unbelief is attached to the fact that they were more aware of the flesh and the world than they were of the spirit and of God. So when Jesus said, this kind comes out by prayer and fasting, you don't pray a devil out. You don't cast a devil. You don't fast a devil out. But fasting is turning away from the world, and prayer is turning your face toward God. And that prescription, my friend, will always connect you to the Lord, which means letting go of the things you're connected so you can reconnect to God. And the greater your connection is to God, the more real God becomes in your life, the easier it is for you to let go of everything that is in the world. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. In other words, one experience with the Lord leads to a second experience with the Lord, and so on and so forth, until we're going to see it in a verse of scripture in Galatians, until you can swallow up the flesh and the world by living in the spirit with the Lord. All right. Well, we've been talking to you about some things concerning words that take us into the flesh and the world. Now, I'm going to say those again. We ended with those: compromise, accommodating, appeasing, rationale, and reasoning. So compromise, number one, is settle a dispute by mutual consension. And number two, accept standards that are lowered than is desired. So compromise. Why isn't compromise good? I mean, you want to compromise with somebody. You don't always get your way. You want to compromise with somebody in order to get along with them. And of course, we know we're told that. You don't have to be that dogmatic about that and that precise about it. That person isn't. If you want to get along with them, Jimmy, just relax a little bit and do it their way. And they'll do it a little bit your way. And you'll do it a little bit their way. Well, you know, there is no compromise when you're working with God. His ways are above our ways. Isaiah chapter 55 tells us, his thoughts are beyond your thoughts. As high as the heaven are above the earth, so are my ways above your ways, and my thoughts beyond your thoughts. Well, why would we want to try to come up with our own compromise to what God said is true and therefore water down what is accurate? Do you see how that compromise is a very negative thing when brought into the spiritual arena? Things have to be, I know this is difficult, but absolute. Now, when you hear people talk, they will talk in terms as though they believe in absolutes. You'll say something and somebody will respond, oh, absolutely. Yes, yes, that's right. Absolutely. I believe that. But if you were to follow them around for a 24-hour period of time, you would probably see many, many, many inconsistencies and compromises and lack of absoluteness in the way they make decisions and choices. Here's a grace story for you. I remember I was talking with my friend, the cowboy, who went on home to be with the Lord back in March, B.J. Rickard. And we were talking about me coming out to the ranch and spending a little bit of time where we would fellowship all around our experiences with the Lord and with the Word of God. And so he was asking me, well, when do you want to come? And I had said the day before, well, any time tomorrow would be good. He said, well, I'll have to see how my day is going. I'll give you a call later on in the day and I'll let you know what time. So it was about 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon. I'm actually out playing some golf that day. It was a Saturday. And he says, well, I'll tell you what, why don't you come over at 6:30? And as soon as he said 6:30, I said, well, I mean, we always eat right at 6, so I don't know that I'll be done eating at 6:30, so it'll have to be a little bit later. And he said a couple other comments, and it made me mad, and I hung up the phone. That wasn't such a good thing to do. And then all of a sudden, while I hung up the phone and I'm making my next shot, hitting my next shot, it dawned on me, wait a minute, who's really in the wrong here? And I began to think, and I came to realize, wait a minute, I told him anytime. I didn't tell him anytime except 6 o'clock until 7, because that's when we eat. And why don't we just say 7:15 to 7:30, because if I'm done at 7, it'll take me 15 minutes to get out to the ranch. If I'd have given him some specifics, but what did I say? Any time. So I called him back up and he answered the phone. And I said, so this is the reason why my prayers aren't always answered, isn't it? He said, yes, absolutely. I said, because of the compromise, because of the inconsistency, because of the lack of being absolute. He said, yes. I said anytime. And when you gave me a time, then I said, I can't do it, which means I didn't really tell you exactly what I should have said. He said, that's right. And he said, the more absolute you will become with the way you say things, the more absolute you will become in the way that you think and the way that you make choices, the easier it will be for you to get your prayers answered. Is anybody out there? Did you leave? Because we're talking about some of these things that actually hit home. Come on, I'm only smiling because I'm living in this. And I've just become, well, if you really want to know the truth about it, one of my favorite words right now is the word repent or repentance. You say, how come that's one of your favorite words? Well, because I do that probably more than anything else. You say, what do you mean? Well, I'm constantly recognizing wrong thought patterns, wrong perspectives from situation to situation. And the Holy Ghost will help me. Remember, he's always going to show you the negativity of the world first. You say, why would he show me the negativity of the world first? Because most of us live in that negativity and there's negativity all around us. This world is swallowed up in negativity. And of course, the day we live, it's swallowed up in fear. Fear produced by what? Falsehoods. Yeah, non-realities, false realities, not the true realities of God, but the false non-realities that give you an opportunity to choose those as though those are just as real, but they're not. They're bathed in inconsistencies and compromise. They're bathed in distortions. And those things will not help you to connect with God. So God will show us the negativities to help us to get over into the positives and see just having that grace experience where the Lord was showing me and opening up my heart to just different ways that I don't always say everything I really mean. or mean everything I really say. And then it comes back to bite you later when you begin to change, you know, to try to change the rules to the game, so to speak, so that you don't look bad. And you say, ouch, ouch, ouch. I know, but that's a grace story. Because what comes out of that? The conscious awareness of inviting God to help you to become more desirous, more empowered. Remember, one of my favorite scriptures on grace is over there in Philippians chapter 2, 12 and 13. It starts out by saying, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And now you almost think, well, there I am. I'm back in works, no, under the law. No. That's it. This is a grace story. Verse 13 in the Amplified said, for it is God who is all the while effectually at work within you. In other words, the way that you work out your salvation is believing that God is all the while effectually at work in you, both creating in you and empowering you with desire and ability to do of His good will, pleasure, satisfaction, and delight. The greater trust you have and the greater you believe that God's actually changing the way you see things, changing your desires and empowering you with ability to make decisions you've never made before, to stand your ground to things you've never stood your ground before with ease, respond to Him. That's grace right there in abundance. That's God's influence overcoming the influence of the flesh and of the world. That's awesome. That's why the Lord will show us the negativity so that we can make the change by His grace to see what is good and accurate and what is true. Wow, these are really, really good. I'm just watching my time. We're about 10 minutes into it already. I'm going to try to bring these videos down to around 15. So let's see what we can do. The second word, accommodate. That's not a good word. That means you're going to try to, well, let's just see what it means. A convenient arrangement, a settlement, or a compromise. So it has compromise in it, which is accepting standards that are lower than that which is desirable. To settle a dispute by mutual concession. In other words, changing what you really believe about somebody and let somebody else influence you to say, well, okay, then we'll do it this way. Well, which is the accurate way? It doesn't matter whether or not the way, whatever the accurate way is, if it offends you, so what? It offends you. In other words, let's just get real about this. So there's a one-way street. Does it offend you that it's a one-way street? Because if you say, that really offends me, I'm going on that one-way street anyhow, and a big, huge truck comes down. Do you see what I mean here? A one-way street is very definitive. You can't decide to accommodate with a one-way street or compromise with it. I'm going to go halfway down the wrong way on a one-way street. No, you're not. That means you are not going to go that way if you can't go with the one way. I didn't make that plain, but if it's going left, you can't go right. The only way you can go down a one-way street is to go the way that it's pointing. And if it's left, you better go left. You can't make something up. And this is the same way with Christianity. How many of us are trying to go the right way, to the right on a one-way street that's going to the left, and somehow change the rules and bend and compromise and accommodate so that we can feel good about going the wrong way on a one-way street? And then all of a sudden say, how come my prayers aren't being answered? Why don't I have any tangibility in my life with God? Because we need to see it the way God sees it. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is, and He's the Lord God, and He changes not. He's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I mean, does any of that make sense? Does it matter? Yes, it all matters. Now, doing things God's way doesn't mean we're going to hate it. In fact, we're going to see such benefit that we'll wonder why we waited so long to do it God's way. Wow, I think we're starting to get this. Are you starting to get this? Man, I'm loving this. Let's go to the next word right here. It's called appeasing. Oh, this is a great one. Pacify or placate someone by acceding to their demands. Relieve or satisfy a demand or a feeling. So you have a demand or a feeling, but you want to satisfy that, or you want to relieve that, so you appease it. Instead of staying with what you need to stay with, you're willing to change the rules of the game. Well, when we play, we change the rules quite a bit. Well, then how do you know who really wins if everybody gets to make their own rules? Oh, it's okay. It really is okay. See, when we approach God, when we see things of this life and of this earth versus the things of heaven, they are what they are and they're not what they're not. Is this helping anybody? I really, really want people to write in to our email, jhmi@jimhockaday.com, and let us know what's going on with these videos. Let us know what you think about this, because this is how it's going to be for quite some time, talking about these things. It may get uncomfortable at times because maybe some of the things the Holy Spirit helps us with from the Word of God to reveal about the flesh and the world may be uncomfortable to you because you may be wearing those clothes. And folks, I'm being honest with you. As I see it myself, I'm ready to what? To repent. What does repent mean? It means to see what is wrong and make a change, to do an about turn and go the other way. If you're going the wrong way on a one-way street, it would be really good for you to repent. Not tomorrow, right now. What happens as a benefit of repentance? When you go the way of God, you immediately walk into the anointing, the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, the voice that's been speaking to you, the feelings that come into your heart, the presence of God upon your body, and the miracle, signs, and wonders. Does that, just any of that excite anybody or draw anybody to this video and this discussion? I know it does. I know it does. We're going to stop right here with appeasing. We're going to come back and look at rationale and reasoning. Wow. But man, I tell you, this is getting good. You will see things change in your life. Absolutely. Hallelujah. How much time do we have? I've used my time. All right. Go to YouTube video, Adventures in Grace, and subscribe for me. Invite people to come to these videos. I don't care if we have 10 subscribers or 100,000 subscribers. It's not about saying, wow, we have a lot. It's about how many people can hear something like this that becomes so simple to get and to begin to see results and to produce results. So you can go also to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us to find these videos. By all means, if you need any help with our ministry, go to jimhockaday.com. That's our website. We'll see you next time. God bless you.